Number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, as the trade deadline in the NHL, 2 o'clock Central Time today, it is looming, and we bring in Greg Wyshynski, who has the latest for sure. Hello, Greg, what's going on?
A little sleepy. I wish our friends on the West Coast could have gotten their act together last night and figured out some things before like 2:30 in the morning Eastern Standard, as I'm waiting on Mikko Rantanen to figure out what he's doing. It's a fun deadline. I think with having so many teams in the playoff race and with the certainty about the salary cap for the next three seasons after this one, it's really opened up a lot of interesting possibilities. And already we're seeing a lot of guys with term moved that maybe normally wouldn't. In fact, there's a trade brewing between the Buffalo Sabres and Ottawa Senators at this point that could see Josh Norris going to the Sabres and potentially Dylan Cousins going back to Ottawa, which is two guys that have some term on their contracts.
Yeah, and I mean we've seen that, like you said, and the Predators have acquired who was it yesterday that they got that had a term on his contract, had another year left. So I mean, it seems like GMs aren't afraid to do that. Where do you think this thing goes with Mikko Rantanen?
So the way it's playing out right now is that Dallas clearly only wants him if they can get him on an extension. And I think the other part of that is that Carolina will only get the value they really want for Rantanen if he does sign an extension. And by that, I mean, there's been names like Logan Stankoven thrown around. He's a really good young player for the Dallas Stars. That quality of player is not going back to the Hurricanes unless Dallas knows they've got Rantanen, you know, for the next several seasons. It's either he's going to sign in Dallas or that trade collapses. Then do the Hurricanes go back to the drawing board with some of the other teams they've been talking to in the last week, or do they ultimately keep Rantanen around for the purposes they traded for him in the first place, which is to finally get over the hump in the postseason? I spoke with a source this morning who said it, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility he remains with the Hurricanes. This is not a burnt bridge. They are prepared to keep him as a rental if things don't come to pass as far as the value they're looking for in trading him. I mean, he's sixth in the league in scoring in the postseason over like the last five seasons. And this Hurricanes team has as good a chance as anybody to advance out of the Metro. So why not keep him around?
Greg, one of the Predator players we had on last week was Michael McCarron. We talked to him. He's now our favorite on the show. What team, you know, his name has been mentioned being traded. What team could use a Michael McCarron? What team could take him today and get a nice push for the playoffs?
I'd say any team that's looking to beat Florida, for one, because, you know, we're seeing some teams around the league really muscle up. I mean, like Vegas is punishing. Florida is punishing. And I think that there are teams that are going to have to respond in kind by adding a little bit of grit and physicality to their lineups. Anybody that's in that position, I think, should be interested in adding him to their bottom six. And obviously, with his price point, it's not a crazy add that's going to screw up your salary cap. I think some teams are probably looking to see if Matthew Olivier of the Columbus Blue Jackets was going to potentially not re-sign there. He's sort of the reigning heavyweight champ right now in the NHL. But he did re-sign. He signed an extension with the Blue Jackets coming off the market. When that happened, I think that, you know, players like McCarron all of a sudden saw their value increase a little bit, or at least the interest in him increase a little bit.
So I'm fascinated about what you do on draft day, on a trade deadline day, because there's so much misinformation and information out there. How do you vet everything, Greg? I'm just curious how the process works for you, because as a former TV guy, I almost fell one or two times to false rumors and all that. But how do you vet things out? Like, all right, is it a thing? You know, like, all right, there's something fishy here. How do you do this?
Well, the first thing is always click through on the tweets. The guy who is one letter off from being Elliot Friedman will probably only have about 34 followers compared to a couple million or whatever Elliot's up to these days. So that's the first thing, is that as we're all following along with different journalists and writers from around the league, always make sure you know who you're reading. But then on the other, for me, I mean, obviously you know, I'm constantly trying to confirm reporting myself as the day goes on in order to be able to write stories or analyze the deals. So it's a lot of reaching out on text and to agents and to executives and sometimes to players to see what's going on. And, you know, on a day like this, you expect not to get a whole lot back, but occasionally, and eventually you do. I mean, it's funny. Like, there are so many of these deadline days that I've worked now where it's like, 3:30 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. The thing's been done for half an hour and your phone's blowing up with a bunch of people saying, yeah, that's correct. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Yeah. where were you at 2 hours ago? But that's just how it goes. It's a very, very busy time for all involved.
Do you ever had an instance where an agent or somebody in one of the front offices called you and said, hey, we're going to do this trade, but don't tell anybody?
I mean, not in such explicit terms. I mean, I've had discussions with people where they clearly clue you in on who they're interested in, and if things break a certain way, they might end up with that player. Or, you know, a lot of times discussions that you have around this time of year is to kind of like disprove things. You know, there are certain, you know, hockey media can be an echo chamber sometimes where, you know, one trade board becomes another trade board, becomes the discussion of the fans. And then you have to like get an agent or somebody reaching out and being like, well, this person is not going to be traded. Like Jason Zucker is a good example, a guy you're familiar with, who just re-signed with the Buffalo Sabres. Like, his name had popped up on a bunch of, you know, trade boards or trade discussions, and everything that I heard was that he really wanted to stay in Buffalo and they'd probably find a way for it to work. So, you know, no one reached out to say, hey, get off the Jason Zucker train, but that's probably a good example of one where the wind seemed to be blowing for him to be trade bait, but in actuality, you know, things were progressing for an extension with him and the team.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN as the trade deadline looms here. Ryan O'Reilly's name has been floated about, you know, and Barry Trotz was pretty, you know, clear in saying he was really going to have to be blown away, and he's almost treated O'Reilly like he has trade protection, which he doesn't. And I'm curious of your thoughts on that and what that says about O'Reilly as a player and how important he is to what Trotz and Andrew Brunette are trying to build here in Nashville.
Well, I mean, it speaks to why they signed him, right? And by that I mean they signed him because he's a character guy, because he's a winner, because he's a leader, and because they felt that is the kind of example they wanted on the ice and in their locker room. And that hasn't changed, obviously, even though things haven't gone well this season. But, you know, they also signed him as a guy who had other suitors and had other opportunities and committed to come to Nashville. And I think when he does that, there's a certain amount of gravitas he brings and a certain amount of respect, spoken or unspoken, that, you know, we're going to do right by what you want. You know, it's not going to be an explicit no movement clause, but you're going to have some input on what you'd like to do. I've heard the same sort of deference has been given to some players in the Blackhawks, Pat Maroon being one of them, where, you know, obviously a lot of people would love to have Pat Maroon. It seems like whatever team he's on, they win the cup, but they're not going to move him unless it's to a place that he'd like to play. And so when you get veterans that have won in the past and have that level of respect, I think you don't necessarily have to go and give them, you know, trade protection. I think it's kind of a mutual agreement that, hey, when and if the time comes, or if the, you know, if somebody quote unquote blows away Barry Trotz with an offer, you know, we'll have a discussion. We'll see how it goes, and we'll see if it's the best for both of us.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch throughout the rest of the day. I know it's a busy one for you, but, hey, only a few more hours, my friend. Before we let you go, it is National Middle Name Day. So what is your middle name?
It's Robert. There's a naming convention on the male side of the Wyshynski family where the father's name becomes the son's middle name. So I'm Robert. My dad is Walter, which was his dad's name. And I only have girls. So we didn't carry it over to the girls as far as the naming convention goes, but that's how I ended up with it. Now, I will say that we named our one-year-old Iris Winter, and we did it because while we liked Iris, we weren't sure she would later in life, but we thought Winter was a pretty banging name as far as like an alternate first name. So when we figured out her name when she was born, we're like, all right, we'll give her Iris. If in like 15 years she's like, I hate it, then you got winter going for you, and maybe that'll be okay. So that was our thought and middle name there.
Nice.
I like that. You gave her some options. That's good. I
exactly.
like that.
You want to give a toddler as much agency as you can in life.
Yes.
Is what we all know. Yeah.
I have to do this too because you're a wrestling nerd like me. Cena heel turn. What do you think?
It was so well done that it made me forget how completely nonsensical all of the Rock stuff has been over the last 2 months.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense. I still don't know what Cody selling his soul means, but the thing I like best about the heel turn, and we don't know why he's done it yet, but we kind of understand it maybe, is that if it is I'm old now, and in order to achieve the thing I need to achieve, I had to turn to the dark side for the power I needed to win the championship again. I think that kind of fits with the character, and it fits with what Cena would do. And what does he do? Does he shave his head? Does he wear
black
jorts? Like what is he gonna do? I don't want to see corporate Cena. I know that.
Yeah.
He's gonna have to change up the look somehow. Maybe he goes Stone Cold. Maybe he goes bald head and a goatee, and now he's Evil John. I don't know, but it's fun. I had a ton of fun watching the turn, and you know, like anything in wrestling, the anticipation of where it could go next sometimes is the real fun of it, until you're inevitably disappointed by where it actually goes.
I 100% agree, but it's gonna be. They got my attention. That is for sure. Thanks as always for doing this. Enjoy the rest of the deadline, and we'll talk. I guess you're off next week. We'll talk to you here in a couple of weeks.
All right, boys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program as he does every week, and we always appreciate that from ESPN. And of course, I cannot forget that he is presented by the fine folks at Old National Bank. Get old. Again, Old National Bank, get old, and appreciate their sponsorship with Greg Wyshynski. We'll react to some of that, get back into the Titans. Chris Sanders is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. It is Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.